Well, I once had a dog with itchy ears. Ears that were big and floppy with long fur, and on top of that, the dog had allergies. So all those factors together created a perfect storm for itchy ears. And what's the poor dog to do? He scratched them. Balanced on three paws, with that fourth one sprung up in the air, just going to town. Now, if a dog scratches its ears now and then, it's no big deal, right? It's a pretty standard occurrence, no issues. But, so I found out, if the scratching persists, that can become a bigger problem real fast. So, what did we do? Well, first we bought a special powder. He didn't like it, he scratched. So, then we bought a special enzyme wash. He didn't like it, he scratched. So, then we got a prescription shampoo. He didn't like it. He scratched. So, then we were getting desperate, and we bought one of those pathetic cones to put around his head. And it worked. For a while. Until he started giving us puppy dog eyes so constantly that we'd say, poor little cone head, and we'd take it off. And then guess what he'd do? He'd scratch. It was a losing battle we weren't going to win. And the most frustrating thing about all of this, beyond the hole burning in my wallet, was that if the dog could just manage to stop scratching long enough to let the medicines go to work and provide healing, the itch would then go away. But it's just not that easy. That itch sensation, it begs the quick response. It demands that temporary bit of fast relief, however fleeting and however long-term damaging it may be. Now, I'd like to think that this sort of issue is just for creatures without our advanced cognitive sensibilities that we humans possess. The poor creature, he can't be mindful enough to stop scratching. What a pity. But deep down, I think we all know the real truth. We're no better in our own human sort of way. And even in very similar sorts of ways. I, a few summers ago, spent an afternoon at the beach in June. It was early in the season, I had no tan whatsoever, and without thinking, I laid down on my beach towel and I slept right there in the full sun. I hear groans. We all know where this is going. I woke up and went home with the worst sunburn of my life across my neck and back. It was uncomfortable, but bearable on the first night. But then on the second night, that's when things took a turn. My entire back began to itch badly. It's apparently known as the devil's itch, according to the frantic Googling I was doing at 2 a.m. It was awful. I could not sit still, and it was everything I could do mentally not to continuously reach my hands back behind me to try to relieve it. I kept trying different lotions and aloes, no success, until finally I found something the next day that could pause the itch and keep me sane, which was Benadryl. So, it would keep it numb for a couple hours at a time, but I would get dreadfully sleepy. So the next 2 days were just this drowsy, bright pink blur that I barely remember, but at least I was finally able to pause that scratch reflex and allow for healing to come. I'm guessing that many, if not all of us here, have had some kind of similar experience, right? A time of great distress, or discomfort, or pain, where we are met with the temptation to find a quick relief, even if it might harm us in the long run. The temptation to go the quick and easy route to comfort rather than allow the proper time and space for true relief. It's one more facet of life lived in our human condition. We want to scratch the itch. I think for this reason, the words of 2 Timothy jump out at us with great urgency and importance. A time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. I can't say for sure what Timothy thought as he read that letter back then, but when I read that today, I think to myself, a time is coming? How about that time is here and now? In some ways, it feels like that verse sums up the last few years in a nutshell. People ignoring truth in favor of whatever narrative suits what they want to accomplish, right? Whatever quick fix will scratch their itch, whether it's conspiracy theorists or violent notions of extremism, you name it. But the more I soak in these words, I must admit that they speak far beyond just the here and now. They speak to the shape of human history. It has been this way, in some way, shape, or form. Granted, it might seem a little more overt and evident lately, but we have always been tempted to scratch the itch, to listen to the voices that want something from us rather than offer us a true gift, to cling to whatever sounds good, whatever we think might benefit us here and now, to jump at the quick relief in favor of long-term healing. I think Paul was well aware of this in writing to Timothy. Paul, through a transformative experience with Christ, was opened up to this new life of long-term grace and love. And that new life set him on a wild adventure, traveling everywhere to share the good news of an authentic encounter with God. And this journey was no quick fix. It was not without pain or suffering for the sake of the gospel. 2 Timothy is written as this letter of a final greeting and instructions for Timothy and his church. Paul was near the end of his life, according to these words, with a strong desire that the faith and the work of the early church would not be diminished or snuffed out, but that a new generation of leaders would rise and heed the Spirit's call to press on. This desire came with a sense of concern about the future. Knowing what he'd experienced in the human condition, Paul foresaw a pattern. Wandering astray from God's calling in favor of something more immediate, more comfortable, setting up on pedestals whatever false teachers are going to give us the remedies that scratch the itch. And we know them in our own day and age, don't we? The snake oil sellers of our time who promise quick and easy results to life's problems if we just listen to them or donate money to them or vote for them. Well aware of that potential danger, Paul charged Timothy with clear advice. Proclaim the message that you have already received. Persist in good times and bad, and lead by example with all the patience you can muster. Heed the call God has given you, come what may. This is the path that sets aside the short-term satisfaction in favor of true healing from God. Now, this sort of charge sounds daunting, right? It's way easier said than done. But that's why we can't forget that before the instructions, Paul offered a key reminder to Timothy about an essential tool for setting about the task before him. He first reminded him of a useful tool at his disposal: sacred writings. Scriptures. At the time, Paul would have been referring to the Hebrew Bible, as we often call it, the Old Testament. And these books of wisdom and narrative and poetry and more, he speaks as how they are useful for instruction and teaching and correction and training, all through faith in Jesus. Paul charged Timothy to use this tool in order to fulfill his calling. And this invites us today to take a moment and just remember the role of the Bible in our tradition. Just as this letter stated, as Presbyterians, we believe that the scriptures of the Bible, though they were written by several human authors over the course of thousands of years, we believe that God was specially present in that process. That the Greek word here is literally translated to God breathed, this notion that God breathed into these books. As we remember that the Holy Spirit's presence is often seen as the very breath of God, right? And that God's name in the Hebrew tradition translates to the sound and the rhythm of breathing. And so God's breath is in and among these words. So because we understand our scriptures as a collection infused with God's breath, We think they have a unique and special authority in our lives. These words are useful and essential in forming our faith. The Bible enables us to learn about who God is, who we are, and some of what we are called to do in this life because of it. One modern way that I like of how it describes the Bible is that the Bible is an account of the relationship between God and God's people. It gives us that glimpse of what that relationship looked like in this day and in this age. And it gives us direction and understanding then of how to seek that relationship with God here and now. A useful tool indeed. It's also helpful to remember in this moment to remember what the Bible is not. The Bible is not God. We do not worship the Bible. It is a special source of God's revelation, but it is not the only source of God's revelation. God reveals God's self to us in other ways as well. One famous theologian, John Wesley, he named three of them along with Scripture. He said, our tradition and our mental reasoning and our experience of life are all ways that God reveals to us. Each is playing a role alongside Scripture to help shape our faith experience. So for that very reason, we do not worship our understanding of the Bible. That is such an incredibly important note that I fear many of us Christians tend to forget. We hold the Bible high, for sure, but we hold it with humility, with patience and grace and a willingness to live in the mystery a bit because we don't have all the answers. The Bible is useful for us in all times and places, but it does come to us from a particular time and place, right? Where many facets of life were very different. In the ancient Middle East, in the time of these writings, as many of us are aware, women were essentially regarded as property. Wrongdoing, the standard for it in response, was violent punishment and even death. And people lived in this time with no concept of many of the modern experiences we now have today. And so we often can't just say, I'm going to do a plain one-to-one reading and application of the Bible to my life. It's often not that simple. That would be misusing the tool in a way God never intended. And if you tried, good luck living your life according to all 613 Levitical laws. Spoilers, nobody can. To use this tool properly and appropriately, we must commit to the process of interpretation and considering our own context. Every single person who encounters the Bible is doing interpreting. It's just that some of us would rather not admit it. As if the God-breathed words of Scripture formed 2,000 to 4,000 years ago arrived in this exact hardcover English version. Nope, sorry. It began as oral storytelling passed down for centuries by an ancient people. And when they finally committed it to writing, this is a Hebrew Bible, it was written left to right in an ancient language now no longer used in active conversation, and it had no vowels. And by the time printing presses came around, they had to collect all these scrolls, right? There's tons of different scrolls that had been processed and recopied down. All of this had to come about to eventually get to what we have today. So a lot of interpretation of Scripture has already happened by the time we open this up. And once we do finally open it up, we'd be lying if we didn't admit that the Bible can get a little messy and very confusing. For every beautiful and comforting psalm or teaching of Christ, we know we're also going to encounter stories of violence, harsh prophecies of doom, and we ask ourselves, how is that proclaiming the message of God's love? It can make accessing this tool very daunting. The Bible is not a quick fix for immediate relief that's going to scratch the itch that we have. And that's tough, because especially nowadays, we have so many quick fixes at our disposal, right? We can numb ourselves with limitless media content. We can lose ourselves in our hobbies that keep us occupied and distracted. We can turn to substances to use and eventually abuse. We can curate a false identity on social media and let that scratch the itch. There are so many different ways that we can find that temporary relief that's easier and simpler than this, right? We're all getting caught up in it here and then. I certainly do myself. These things sound easy. They look nice. They feel good. They give us short-term satisfaction. But we have to ask ourselves, how is this shaping our lives? Are the things we are turning to for relief, are they proclaiming life and love and healing for the world? Or are they just keeping us sedated and satisfied in the short term? Daunting as it may be, the words of Scripture are transformational, are life-giving, with power behind them. God breathed wisdom of life and love, and it takes time and effort to truly embrace it. It requires commitment and persistence and long-term growth and healing. But that is what our life of faith is. It is taking a journey step by step, doing our best to discern how we can merge our understanding of the way of Christ in the context that we find ourselves in here and now. It's a lifelong work that we're invited to. It's an opportunity. But we do ourselves a disservice if we let the challenging pieces keep us away. But if we are careful interpreters, keeping an eye set on the way of Christ, a way lined with love, grace, compassion, and service for our neighbors, we are well on our way to using this tool properly. So let us continue to use these divinely inspired words to lead us in learning what it means to live by faith alone. I encourage each one of you to consider, how might God be inviting me to take a step further into my engagement with Scripture? Not necessarily just sitting at home reading it by myself, but letting it soak into my very bones, not through reading necessarily, but through speaking it, through hearing it, through experiencing it, perhaps memorizing that verse that speaks to you. There are more opportunities to engage in Scripture at our disposal now than there have ever been for anyone else in all of time. There are phone apps and websites, commentaries and studies. We have a fantastic library, the best library I have ever worked at a church for in my life. It's right down the hall, and it's all accessible for all of us, all the tools there. We also have groups within our church. We're gathering more groups now, regularly experiencing Scripture together. And if any of that might be pressing on your heart just a little bit, please speak to me or Leslie. We would love to get you roped into one of those groups to get involved. In our commitment to using this tool for true healing over temporary relief, may we adopt the mindset of the psalmist. O Lord, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen.